Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
Welcome back to Talking Shit, where we are talking all sorts of shit. Shit's Creek, that is. I'm Jess Sterling, and as always, I am joined by someone who always wears a flouncy little apron when he makes Christmas cookies, Stuart!
If you're not wearing a flouncy little apron, then what are you doing in the kitchen? Like, you're going to get gingerbread everywhere, you've got to protect yourselves, and you've got to get into the Christmas spirit. I feel like, despite the fact we're recording this in March, we need to get into the Christmas spirit. So, like... Mm-hmm. Let's go. Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose.
How do you have that readily available?
I mean, yeah. Do I prepare props for this podcast now? Yes, that seemingly is the way I'm going to go about that. Oh my God, you guys are so quiet now. I can't hear through this.
You're wearing a hat. You're full on wearing a hat. We're not alone, of course. We're joined by someone who is always in the Christmas spirit and certainly would never be paying Ray $100 for a Christmas tree. My husband, the biggest Johnny Rose stan you'll ever find, Will. Will, how are you?
Hi, I brought gingerbread cookies.
It's one of those old popcorn tins that has like the three separate compartments with different popcorn in it.
I love that we've
become the Christmas magic.
Yes. Today we're talking season 4, episode 13, Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose. The one and only Christmas special that Schitt's Creek ever does. Why are you making that face, Stuart? Did we cover a different special?
I'm disappointed to know that there's only one Christmas special. I was kind of hoping that we might start getting these every season.
No, this is the one and only. There is a special that we'll talk about, but it is not a Christmas special. This isn't Doctor Who. No,
I'm just not British. Conditioned being British. I'm like, you finish a season, you have a Christmas special. That's what's the done thing, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. No. You finish a series and then you have a Christmas special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this is the first time I think that we're seeing snow in Schitt's Creek, which looked pretty CGI'd, but all around okay.
You telling me that they didn't have the budget for real fake snow? Does that seem right to say? Real fake snow? But like
real
they're
snow.
Not gonna be able to CG is the only option. Although you say that, they are in Canada, are they not? Like, come on.
Where do they film? They film in Canada, right? Yeah,
it's in Canada.
Stuff is filmed in Canada, so I would figure they are.
Because I don't think we're super far actually from where they film. But anyway, we're gonna get into all of this and more. But should we start off with a little recap of exactly what happened this episode?
Yeah, let's get into it.
It's Christmas Eve in Schitt's Creek, and Johnny wants to celebrate. Back in the day, the Roses would throw lavish Christmas parties, but ever since moving to Schitt's Creek, they have ignored the holiday. Johnny decides last minute that they'll be throwing a party at the motel, and he enlists everyone to help. David is assigned to decorations, given he owns a store that sells them, but not wanting to waste their hard-earned money specifically set aside for an espresso machine, he repurposes the motel's crappy decor. Alexis is in charge of the guest list, which she misunderstands as sending the invitations, not creating the guest list. More importantly, though, she has to impress Ted's friends who hate her at a holiday party the same night. Moira and Johnny are off to pick out a Christmas tree, but Ray is charging a special price, which is actually just highway robbery. Surge pricing on Christmas Eve sounds very Scrooge-like to me. Mm-hmm. Johnny gets so fed up with everyone bah humbugging that he heads off to the cafe to eat some meatloaf, even though it's the wrong day for it. Luckily, that prompts everyone to get their Christmas cheer and gear and throw a fun party for all the townsfolk to attend. Stuart, that was the episode.
Okay. We're gonna have to address it, right?
Yes, obviously.
What is Johnny playing at? Seriously. I'm going to get it over and done with. I know you brought Will on here for this, propaganda.
I am not going to hear this slander when I'm able to actually speak up.
Usually you're just yelling in the background.
I'm just DMing you in all caps.
Also that.
Because I can't yell in the background because it would ruin the audio.
He is the worst in this episode.
No.
For the first half, worst? At the very least.
Who's I don't worst? Think he's the worst.
I mean, we'll get into that towards
he
the end.
He's not stuff, the worst I mean, he's, at he's all bad. In this episode.
I no. think the problem is, here's the thing. I think
he
we
loves
can look
his
at
family
it.
Family and he wants to spend time with them.
This
in
is
the holidays.
This is the yeah, argument the for Johnny is I would love to go. I would love to be able to spend time with my family. Yes, I think the whole family of Roses look back on those like lavish holiday parties as like, this was the best time ever. But when we get the flashbacks, we see, yes, but they were very disconnected back mm-hmm. when they used to throw those big parties, right? Like it was a big fun party, but it wasn't like they were spending quality time together. That's what Johnny wants. The problem is he wants it on Christmas Eve with no time like to plan anything. Like I have to imagine most people probably have plans on Christmas Eve already with their own families. So while I think I'm with Will in terms Apparently of the not. Thought behind it is very kind, I also feel like he is putting a lot on other people when they didn't sign up for it. I guess I think we would go a little easier on Johnny if he was like, I'm going to throw this big party. I'm going to do it all myself. I don't need anyone's help, but I would like you to be there, but also I'm going to do it all. But he really does push. He pushes on people.
Yeah. It would be so much nicer if he had taken on the burden of, you know, organizing everything. That would have made a really shitty sitcom episode. So of course, like I love Johnny for actually setting up this stupid drama, but it's the last minute party prep. Like he's seen the stress that it put David under for the whole sprinkle
baby shower. Yeah,
exactly. So like,
which David shouldn't have had to do anyway. I saw how many women were there singing with Jocelyn and she didn't ask a single one of them or
yeah, none of the jazz gals
none
offered.
Of them even offered.
But you how many throw of them that on David party last second.
We can't
experience.
Rag on Jocelyn for putting that on David for a same day sprinkle.
A same day sprinkle. The phrase same day sprinkle.
Jocelyn should have gotten some bad points that episode.
But I want to talk. I want to talk about the, you know, the breakdown of labor here, because I feel like certain jobs are harder than others. And I would come down harder on certain characters, right? So like David, as an example, he is in charge of decorations. Stuart, seemingly this is a very easy task given he runs a store that literally sells decorations. And like, it's a little wild to me that they don't even have like a fake Christmas tree in the motel, like, you know, storage somewhere, but maybe Stevie's great aunt wasn't into the holidays.
Yeah, I mean, I would put some like kind of like, oh, David could have like really helped a little bit more. However, David sells decorations, doesn't give them away for free. And of course, they're not going to like gel with the aesthetic of the motel. It's a very different vibe that David's going for. You see how out of place his bedding is? Imagine that, but with like the decorations they're selling. Monochrome decorations, black and white Christmas decks. No one wants them in Schitt's Creek. What Johnny wants is like bright Technicolor, cheap and gaudy decorations that are going to fit into the aesthetic and are going to match the vibe of everyone that's going to be invited. David's decorations just won't work. Unless, of course, he has to scramble and like gets guilt ridden into it, which he does. And of course, I mean, that kind of works out, I guess.
I mean, I didn't see any black and white decorations. They all seem pretty traditional to me.
I saw a snowman. I was like, well, that's about as monochrome.
Oh, no, the snowman is black and white. Yeah, it's black and white.
Yeah, I think where I land on that, because, like, yeah, sure, David Store sells them. But you're telling me in, like, the holiday spirit, it's Christmas Eve anyway. Is anyone actually coming in to buy Christmas decorations on Christmas Eve? Probably not. Like, he could have donated the decorations to the party. Like, is it that big of a deal? I really don't think so. I feel like he had the easiest job of the crew here in getting.
You could also just take them back after and then just sell them on the clearance.
Yeah, discount. Yeah, but
it's like, but oh, this box has been opened, so it's like $1 cheaper.
Perhaps, but then he'd also miss out on the surge pricing of Christmas Eve. And as Ray has established, that's like premium. Like, you can up your prices.
Ray
and
is a
suckers
criminal.
Will pay for it.
Ray, well, yeah. The Grinch of this episode. Like, how dare he? Where does he get off?
Yeah, we need to talk about that. Because Johnny and Moira are in charge of the tree, right?
Yeah.
Now, in my opinion, if you're buying like a real Christmas tree on Christmas Eve, you're going to have slim pickings, which they do. They don't have the best trees to choose from. But the moment that Ray is like, yeah, it's $100 for this Charlie Brown ass Christmas tree. I'm like, F you, Ray. I'm going to the closest like Walmart or whatever the heck is nearby and buying a fake tree for half the price. That's double the size. Like, there's 0% chance I'm spending $100. He could have paid David for the decorations with that $100. Like, you're telling me you're going to spend $100 on that piece of crap? I bought a lot of Christmas trees in my day. I spent a lot of times wandering around a Christmas tree farm for hours. Okay. A little traumatizing. We'll never forget it. I've seen a lot of Christmas trees. I've never paid $100 for a Christmas tree and certainly never bought a tree that looked like the one they got.
It really is a Charlie Brown Christmas, and Johnny is the Charlie Brown. Like, he gets the sad tree. He like wants to know like what Christmas is with his family because they've been around it, but they've never really been together with it. So he's really trying to find that mystery that is Christmas.
It's a bad time to admit that I've never seen this.
You've never seen a Charlie Brown Christmas?
No. Classic. It's like super American.
Is Charlie Brown an American? I mean,
I guess. Yeah. It's made in America.
I just feel like it's universal. Like, I mean, it's,
what is the every year thing over there? Christmas Carol?
Oh my God.
That guy's British.
Like, we got the snowman, which is like where it's like a cartoon of a snowman that comes to life and then flies through the air.
So Frosty?
And it comes with this, like, No, Jessica. No. Totally different.
Take our
British Christmas seriously.
I love Frosty the Snowman, and I still, whenever I hear the word busy, I think busy. Yeah, that's, you don't know, you know, he doesn't get that.
I know it.
It's really sad to me that you've not seen Charlie Brown Christmas. Anyway, this tree sucks and Ray sucks. And I would have just, I just feel like there had to be some store open. I don't know how far they are from like their closest, like Target, Walmart, what have you.
I mean, they would have to get a car. Well, they have a car now.
They have a car.
And drive to the nearest town where David used to work. Like, that's where like all the bigger stuff was.
Elmdale, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I doubt there is like a huge store that's nearby though, because I mean they're going down to Elmdale to get like the Blouse Barn, and the Blouse Barn is like the only place for getting clothes. So I imagine there's not one of these like huge supermarkets that does like absolutely everything under the sun. So maybe it's like it's just too much of a drive. Also, it's slippy out. We've seen the CG snow. You know, it's going to be like quite. You can't drive. It's slippy. It's dangerous. So of course you don't want
to
risk it.
Listen, I don't know if I need to tell you this, Stuart, but people in Canada are used to the snow. In fact, they do probably drive in it fairly often.
Most people probably used to driving in it. You think Moira and Johnny are used to driving in the snow?
Moira was never going to drive.
Moira doesn't exactly. know.
She didn't even drive when Jocelyn was having a baby.
He gets chauffeured. Yeah. She really sits in the back seat most of the time.
She was going through a lot mm-hmm. that day.
Moira's such a passenger princess, isn't she?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She is the epitome of passenger princess, and she would not deny it.
Yeah. And then Alexis is put in charge of the guest list. Now, I do think this is more of a miscommunication where she thinks Johnny is going to give her the guest list and then she is responsible for inviting those people. But
Alexis knows his... better than this.
I don't think she does, really. How many times have we seen
she
Alexis
knows her
and
way
Johnny...
around a party?
Certainly. Of certainly. All things. But also, I think Alexis, in my opinion, has the easiest out of anyone in the family to get out of this party. And it is, hey, it's Christmas Eve. You invited me this morning to a party. I have plans with my boyfriend and his friends. Like, and mm-hmm. this is based
she
on Ted's...
She should have said that then.
Yeah, sure. But the way Ted is prepping for this Christmas party he does with friends... Like, it's obviously very important to him. They have traditions. They have a cookie competition. That's easy to be like, okay, never mind. I'm out on my family party. I got to go to Ted's thing. But the thing is, Willis, she doesn't want to because Ted's friends hate her.
Yeah, because they're a little like,
the thumbs down from her. Yeah. 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 They don't like her, Stuart, because she broke Ted's heart one too many times, I think.
Understandable. Like, I am always on Alexis's side for like for everything, but like I still have to have a little bit of a toe on like Ted's friend's side here because she did break off the engagement and break his heart and then proceed
it was
to
a
just
soft engagement it was like if Matt. I was gonna stay yes
a soft engagement
but it was like the most like no yes ever. She was like, if I was going to be here, which I ended up being here, then yes.
Yeah, it wasn't enthusiastic consent, which is
and
what
also,
should
it
always
was
be
way
given.
Too fast, and Ted's friend should have been more concerned about him.
Fair. I kind of wonder what Ted's friends are like, though. Are they like vet circle people?
Are they all people?
Connected like, to the vet stuff.
Yeah, because when she says they're going to be coming to the party, she says a group of Ted's vet friends.
Ah, yes, so she does, yes.
Yeah.
Because this is where I'm like, if I'm Ted in this situation, I'm mad. I'm actually upset because, yeah. Alexis, if you can't come to the friend thing because you have family obligations last minute, like that, okay, go be with your family. I'm going to go hang out with my friends because that's who I already made a commitment to. He gets roped into this thing. He has to double his cookie batch and he has to then skip his own party and his friends are just going to stop by to some shitty motel later. Come on now.
Wow.
But they're joining like a family Christmas. Like it's a whole different vibe. Like going to like a friend's party like Christmas Eve and stuff like that. It's not wholesome. It's not like a nice family.
It's debaucherous.
And they're saving them from that.
It is Ted's friend.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
exactly.
know how debaucherous it's actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Cards Against Humanity is probably the extent of like the debauchery they got up to. Yeah.
That's so true. And
got all the ones where you can like get creative with it. It's all just pet puns. Like vet puns.
God, yes.
Which reminds me, Stuart, I forgot. I meant to message you the other day. This is off podcast stuff, but I'm just going to say it on here anyway. I tackled the cones earlier this week. I raked a ton of pine cones and I tackled the cones.
How many did you tackle?
A lot.
Enough to get a second shower in the week?
Definitely enough to get a second shower. Yeah. Yep. Tackled those cones hard.
Ridiculous.
Yep. Nashville or whatever her name was would be happy about it.
Nashville?
I know it's not Nashville. Tallahassee? Orlando?
It's a whole different state.
Oh, God, I love it.
Yeah.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Yeah, I think like Alexis has the, in my opinion, the easiest out. I think Moira is obligated. It's her husband. She literally has nothing else going on. It's obviously important to him. So like, why is it a big deal for Moira to attend? I think then David, well, he doesn't really want to go. I love Patrick being like, if my family wanted to hang out, I would love to go. This seems really nice. Nothing screams normal, conventional family with no trauma like Patrick does.
I guess so, because we haven't at least gotten into any of it at all. We haven't heard anything other than, I guess they don't live close by.
Right.
But I don't think we know all that much about his family right now.
No, just that he has an ex-fiance he never told anyone about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bit sus. This is leading me down to have some questions about Patrick. Like, is he a spy or something? Like, why has he got all these secrets?
Spoilers.
Spy. Secret spy. Those baby blues. He rocks those shirts for a reason to just get people... get people not assuming that he could be the worst.
I thought you were just going to say for your own benefit, because you're like, I love him when he wears blue. It's just like, every time he wears blue now, I'm just like, of course he is. Like, dresses somewhere.
He looks
screaming.
The best in blue! It's not his fault.
The costuming department agrees.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Also, we need to talk about Stevie's plans for the holiday, where she has an entire iconic case of wine. What is she doing? God.
12 days of Christmas? Yeah, one day, 12 bottles of wine.
It just makes me sad, because that's probably what she did before the roses arrived, and it just makes me think she was really lonely.
A shitty little apartment as well. That would have been worse. Maybe she'd have been hanging out with Nana Bud. Maybe they would have like shared some bottles of wine together. Maybe that could have worked out a little bit, but not probably the most optimistic way to spend Christmas. But I mean,
she could be sharing
12 bottles.
She could be sharing the wine with Jake at this point. We don't know.
Oh,
we haven't seen him in a little bit.
Pony.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't show up to the party.
Christmas pony.
Don't say Christmas pony. That's the worst.
Christmas pony. Johnny eventually has enough of all of this. Like, no one's putting in any effort. Alexis didn't invite anyone, and also she can't attend. David refuses to give up some decor from the store. Moira is pouting the entire time. I think she, at one point, they're leaving the raised tree robbery, and she's like, I've been awake for too long. bed. And so Johnny's had enough, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to go to the cafe and get my meatloaf dinner, and that's it. And it's sad for him, because it's not even meatloaf day.
Yeah.
Yeah, meatloaf day is Tuesday, Johnny. Get your schedule together, buddy. You live in the cafe, practically. You should know this.
And I know Stuart doesn't understand this, but he's really having a Charlie Brown kind of day, because just nothing's going his way, and he wants it to so bad.
He's trying really hard.
He does get the meatloaf, but it is not meatloaf night. It is not fresh meatloaf.
It's day old meatloaf.
Shout out to Twyla, though. Twyla's a sweetheart in this whole situation. Yeah. Taking him in, talking him through his problems, giving him some day old meatloaf.
Yeah.
Sticking really around when she didn't need to. She should have closed earlier. Like, she should have headed off. She had a prior commitment. She's still there dealing with Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
He really owes her some good tips at this point.
Yeah. Like, they really have more on-screen time together than I remember, just because he goes there so often, like Johnny and Twyla. Like, they have a lot of rapport just because he's there all the time eating lunch. Mm-hmm.
I feel like they probably did that on purpose because he's like, I'd like to have some scenes with my daughter. That would be nice.
I mean, of course. Why not? Yeah. I just saw them in a commercial together. It was kind of hard to watch.
Oh, the eyebrows?
The eyebrows, yeah.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hated that.
I was about to be really naive and say, oh, yeah, it's probably really sweet because he's like, yeah, I want to spend like Christmas with my daughter. There's no way they filmed this around Christmas. This would have been
0%.
Like in March, like when we're recording this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or when it's even warmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Moira goes to fetch Johnny. They have a little heart to heart. And again, this is where I wish he had said everything he says here at the beginning of the episode. And I know that's not how sitcoms work, but I do wish he had just said, I just want to spend time with my family. Cause obviously the whole thing is to throw the big party. They could have done something small together. Like they could have done it Christmas Day. They didn't have to do it Christmas Eve. Like there could have been ways to make this work. And I think if he had just said, I just want to spend time with you, the memories you all have of these big parties, yeah, sure, they were fun, but we didn't spend any time together. Now we actually enjoy one another's company. We're closer than we were before. And I'd like to like have a good holiday because we've spent the past few years just in mourning of what we no longer have. I just wish he had said that. I think Moira hears it at this point. And though I do love her comment of the sign of a good party is to not remember the end.
Yeah. It's very Moira. Super, super sweet. Like the sentiment that he wants to get out of it. And the fact that it's annoying that he just doesn't articulate it at the beginning. Like he comes across as if he's like, I've just had a whim and I want to do this because I want to like have a throwback to the old days. And everyone's thinking about what the old parties were like and about the level that they need to attain and it can't be achieved. So they see it as being futile. Whereas if he was to say, no, like we've come a long way together and I'd like to spend this time with you now that you're all, it's a bit nasty to say it, but like nice people now. But like, I think that would have come across totally different. Yeah, they're totally closer. Yeah, and it would have been so much better if he had. But yeah, like you said, it's
they don't not do how sitcoms like that. They don't say things like that to each other's faces. They just do gestures and hope that the other people get the point, or they have a one-on-one where they say it and then they move on very fast because they are very uncomfortable expressing emotions to each other, other than these like tiny little moments.
And Johnny, I think, is the one who is the most likely to like open up as well emotionally.
And then the rest of them are like, ew, stop it.
Dad, this is why you love Johnny so much, because you are the Johnny.
He tries so hard.
He does. He really does try. So he
puts his whole heart out there.
He returns to the motel, and in the meantime, everyone has prepared a big party, and everyone from town is there, which I personally was like, wow, these people have no life, because this is Christmas Eve in what I presume is a like pretty Christian town. Who knows for sure, right? David says, I'm lucky little half and half situation. I love his dad saying, my dad has no authority over this holiday. It's really funny. But everyone has gathered, and David got some decorations from the store. It seems like Alexis put the guest list together, so everyone's hanging out. And I really liked that. It's very, very sweet. And even the Jazzagals do a little silent night sing-along situation. They super glued the tree together, which again, I actually really liked David's idea of making either like wreaths or garland
out of it. Yeah.
Right. Like
a tree though. That's like the one like big thing.
Yeah. But if you have the pieces, you can assemble it, because one year I had a tree. I'm trying to think. I think my tree was too tall for the house, so we made it shorter. We cut it at the bottom, and then my dad gave all the branches, and I made a wreath out of the extra branches. Like you certainly can do that.
She's crafty. The closest to that I get is when my mom like wants to push the tree all up against the wall, and so she'll like carve half of the back out and like proper like get it closer to the wall that way. That's about the closest I can really get to.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Never crafty like it though.
But it's
like, getting back onto the tree though, like so much like shit talking about the Mardi Gras beads, like that could have worked.
You could use those.
Yeah.
You could easily, like, I'm sorry, I don't see the big difference between like Mardi Gras beads and a lot of Christmas decor.
We don't need those nasty beads. I'm out on the Mardi Gras beads for Christmas. They're not even the right colors. Oh, I mean, they've been touching who God knows what. They're like blue and yellow. Like, they're not on color.
Oh, stop it with that nonsense. Wow. Like, this day and age, sure, traditional Christmas colors are like red and green and like gold and silver, right? Nowadays, people be having pink Christmas trees. They do some weird ass shit.
I don't associate with those people.
I mean, I don't either. But just in a pinch, you could use a Mardi Gras bead. Cut them open, make them into strands, and use it as like garland.
Mm-hmm.
You put that on the back of the tree where no one looks.
Well, you're going to get the LVP today, I promise you. This is the worst take, because I feel like there is a point in which the decorations can be so gaudy that they're good. So they used to. I went to university down in Canterbury, and there was a restaurant down there. And what they would do is they would take people's like donations for like Christmas decorations, and they would put them all up. And when I say them all up, their ceiling was lined with them, and it was fantastic because everywhere you looked, there was just something shiny in different colors. Nothing matched. There was no aesthetic, but it was so much that it was good. And I also really liked it because you could take your own alcohol and they wouldn't charge you for corkage. It was fantastic. But yeah, and we had a great time. I feel like if you indulge the gaudiness and the tat and the cheapness, there comes a point where it becomes good.
So you're
just
a cheap
ass. Embrace it. You've got to embrace it.
That's
if you're like
thing.
A cheap ass that's trying to pretend to be expensive, that's where you fail. Indulge the cheap. It's like,
especially when it's last minute.
They're never going to do that. David's never going to do that.
Well, yeah, David's the problem.
Yeah.
I think that like using what you have is really like what they should be looking at. Like, I love Moira. Oh, it's a Christmas gourd or whatever. A holiday gourd. You can use what you have.
Yeah, I would have been more fine with that.
You can put a
little Santa hat on it. That's what I'm saying.
Make it into a snowman. Like you could repurpose things if you have the people and the resources to do it, right? And I think the problem is Johnny is the only one putting in effort because Johnny's the only one that wants this party to happen. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the problem. He needs more people to be on board. And again, like, I love the sentiment from Johnny. I'm very much on board with the sentiment of everything here. I think it's the fact that it is so last minute is where he loses me, because I don't want to plan a party like day of. That sounds extremely stressful. And then what happens if no one shows up because they already have plans? Like, is he going to blame me because it didn't go off the way he wanted it to? Like, it's a lot to ask, but yeah. I do love where the place that he's coming from. I feel
like they lucked out, particularly when it comes to the guest list, because of the Jazza Gals having a prior commitment that Moira was able to pull them back with. And of course, if the Jazza Gals are busy, that means Bob's free, it means Roland's free, it means Johnny's free. Like,
that's half the town right there.
Exactly. And so like they get the Jazza Gals and they get the other half immediately. So like you've got most of the town there already. So they lucked out there, I will say, which is why I don't feel like Alexis really pulled through with the guest list.
Yeah.
No. I give way more credit to Moira, honestly, for making things happen. And she's on, like, Johnny duty the whole time. Like, she is very supportive in the most that she could be, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, even in the part where Johnny's, like, kind of losing it and unraveling, like, Stevie comes out with the red. And, like, you just see in the background behind Johnny, Moira, and she's just like, thank you, Stevie, as she takes a glass of wine for herself. And she's the one who meets Johnny at the diner. Like, she's like talking him through all of this and getting him through. And, yeah. You know, like, even though we don't see it, they had a conversation before she like left to go get Johnny and bring him back.
Yeah, to, like, I feel like
start setting things up.
Moira certainly is the one that is probably going to see where Johnny is going with it before anyone else. And yeah. It's going to be the one to say, right, this means something to him. We need to do something nice for him. So do it. And of course, yeah. We never see it because we're never going to see Moira actually, you know, take that step. It's always the end reveal. Like, it's always her turning up at like graduation singing. It's always her turning up at the party like last minute. I would be lovely to see Moira actually like be thoughtful and think forward and then communicate that. But then also you don't get the reveal that way either. Mm-hmm. And she loves a reveal. She
100%. Loves to, like, yeah, that's the just the Moira way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to be fashionable about it.
Yeah.
You know what's thoughtful is getting people presents. Like Johnny does.
No.
You tried really hard.
He tried. There was thought. Here's what I'll say. There was thought behind each gift. Yes.
A little bit. As much as was possible with what was available to buy.
So he goes to the antique store, and it's the day of, right, that he goes there. So he doesn't have, like, a ton of time. And each gift, he at least has a reason for purchasing it. And when we keep in mind that Johnny is a terrible gift giver, I think that some of these are better than others. So I think we should take them one by one. But, like, so you know, the antique tin specifically for Moira's wig pins, I thought was actually a really great idea and, like, a really good gift.
Yeah,
I thought Moira was a bit shitty for like turning a nose up at it. If I'm honest, because it's a good idea. Bit fugly, but like,
yeah,
it's functional.
So, and like, it's antique. Like, it's not. It feels like it fits her style too. Like, it's interesting looking. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting looking. But like, one out of three, because the other two are right off.
That's really shady.
David loves money.
Yeah, okay, so the 1,000 yen is pretty bad. Like, that's, in my opinion, I think the worst one. Because, yes. Will, you told me it's like $6, which is like actually
$6.67, at least that's what Google told me.
So that's really bad. I feel like the stamps from around the world fall squarely in the middle, because we know Alexis loves to travel. We know she's been to a lot of places. So again, like, the thought is there. Like, I could see where he's going with it, but
I could see how Johnny would think that was really neat. And
but also, Alexis would hate stamps. Like, Alexis is not a girly who's gonna be like, look at my stamp collection.
No matter what he got her, she wasn't gonna love it anyway.
He tried.
He could have, no, like, Johnny absolutely knows the kind of stuff that Alexis would go for. Anything that can be thieved by a till at the end when you're like at the cash register, because he's witnessed her do that before and they've talked about it. He could have like 5-finger discounted some nice sunnies for her. Admittedly, okay, it's winter, she doesn't need them now, but she will when the summer comes.
Oh, you know, the snow, the sun reflects off of it,
you know. Oh, you get that as well. Dual seasonal means it's a double fail for Johnny.
He tried. I think the wig pin tin is certainly the best gift of all three. It is his wife, so sure, he should put in more effort for them, I suppose, rather than his adult children. But yeah, it's sad. This always happens. He really is Charlie Brown, Will. I can't help but, like, you're so right. Yeah. He really is. And now Stuart needs to watch another thing. He really is the Charlie Brown. You've seen, like, Charlie Brown, it's in like general, half an hour, right? Like, you've seen the whole football thing with the, you pull the football away.
Pull the football away and he still falls for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's such a Johnny.
Yeah. Anything else about this episode before we go through some of the feedback that we got?
Yeah. One thing in like the flashbacks, did you see who was at that party, Stuart?
Was it the Taylors?
I think that's their name. Couple from the dinner. Yeah.
Bev and something.
Yeah.
Because I think Bev is the one that I want to shout at, because when they're doing the Johnny thing, she's off beat for like 4 or 5 of them. And I was there just going, what is she doing? Get on board here. You're ruining the dream.
Yeah, Bev and Don Taylor, they were there. Mm-hmm. As was Alexis' boyfriend Stavros.
As like a out of show like watcher, I thought it was cool that they like brought them back to like show that they were there for that. But like, I'm also glad we didn't like hear them speak because they are the worst.
Yeah, completely. It's nice to see like a face on Stavros, like after all the references to things.
Yeah,
lovely to see the act return and David Tare.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit because of the wigs. So good. But yeah. The flashbacks were fun just to get to see what their lives were like, because we don't do flashback on this show, really. So it is nice to see those moments.
Yeah, I noticed the Taylors and also the painting that we saw in the other episode was like up on the wall. And I just love those little touches of like, those are things we know.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get into our feedback. First, I'm going to start off by reading a 5-star review because we did get one. Very exciting. From DM Giordana, I think, entitled Sprinkle. You know you can just not go to baby showers, send a gift or not, but you can RSVP that you can't make it. This is, I promise I will always read out 5-star reviews. What I have to say to this in response is, have you met my family? Like, actually, have you? Because in principle, sure, it is very easy to be like, RSVP, no, on paper, that sounds great. But the guilt that would be put upon my soul, it's too much to handle. I am forced. The only time you can get out of them, in my opinion, is if you already have plans on the day that it is. And you're like, darn, missing that sprinkle.
I mean, it's a legitimate thing to say. I mean, we can just not turn up. I mean, it is a possibility. I don't care what your like excuses are, Jess. No, it still is that mind.
Sure.
But I kind of just love the fact that like we've kind of changed the game here with the 5-star reviews. Drag us in them.
Please send what do. You want.
We'll read it.
Like, because I sent this to Stuart earlier and I was dying. I was like, this is the best. Drag me in the reviews all you want as long as they're 5 stars. Please, please. It's so funny.
I love it.
I just love the contrast. Everyone's like, oh, this is really well reviewed podcast. Mm-hmm. And they go read the reviews. They're like, these people sound awful. What's going on?
Do these listeners hate the podcasters?
Yeah.
Incredible. Okay, let's continue on. We got an email from Shannon. Hi, Justin Stewart. Just wanted to say it wasn't until the Singles Week episode that I realized how brilliant Catherine O'Hara really is. When Moira and Alexis are fighting about the Singles Week event and Alexis says, what exactly have you done, while rapidly moving both her hands back and forth, Moira immediately copies her same hand motion when she replies, I'll tell you what I'm about to do. I'm not sure it was scripted that way, but I'd be willing to bet it wasn't. And I just think it was a great choice. Moira changes up her persona from time to time. And my favorite is maternal Moira, who doesn't appear very often. But when she does, it's so authentic and warm, which I think is amazing for such an outrageous character. Moira Rose is by far Catherine O'Hara's best creation of her career. I can't wait until you cover the next episode, which is my favorite Johnny Rose episode of all time.
They're right that the maternal Moira doesn't show up very often, because when Johnny asks her, where are the children? She says, what children?
children? That's flashback Moira. That's flash. She's grown. She said grown.
She has.
Yeah, so what were her children at that point in time.
Yeah, I love it when we get to see more maternal Moira, because it's like we've had the touches of it, like her turning up at the graduation. We've had these little like kind of little pockets of it where she kind of nurses Alexis when she's sick and things like that. But I love the fact that we are kind of getting Moira being maternalistic in the fact that she is gushing over Patrick and Ted. Like, she seems to show them more love than she does her own kids, which I think is just true mother-like fashion of just like,
yeah,
get out of here, you. I want your new friend. Like, I like them more than you, like, kind of thing, which is so Moira, right?
I mean, to be fair, I would love Ted and Patrick.
Mm-hmm. More than Alexis and David?
Yeah.
I mean, no. I love them. But in terms of, like, I don't know. I love Patrick and Ted. Like, come on. Plus, Ted outrageous. Is, like, just being welcomed back to the family, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he brought cookies. So.
He did bring cookies, yeah. Bonus points. He
made cookies. Homemade.
Yeah.
Big deal. Mm-hmm.
Another 72.
Insane.
That's how many friends does Ted have that he needs that many cookies?
Hungry.
And it's
vets.
A cookie competition, so usually you don't need that many cookies because everyone's bringing some.
Everybody gets one.
Maybe they also make doggy cookies for all the dogs in attendance.
To pick up something from last episode, we talk about the fact that David ate a dog biscuit. I don't think we did.
We never talked about it. He should know better. They're at the vet's office. Come on.
But I love that he didn't spit it out. He was
what am I
going
to do now?
Yeah, exactly. It's always like, well, I have to finish it.
I started it as well.
So good.
Yeah.
All right. We also got an email from Roseanne. I only got around to watching Schitt's Creek last month. And And my God, I fell hard. I obviously love all the roses, but ever since I watched the season one finale for the first time, David has my heart the most. His loneliness, his self-doubt, and how he goes on to move through it all. I just love him so much. Got to the end of the show and immediately had to start again. I love that we've had like so many people saying that's exactly what they did. Was in deep need of discussing everything in detail. So thank God for your podcast. Just listened to your discussion of the olive branch. And I was a little sad that none of you seemed as affected by Simply the Best 2.0 as I was. I was all caps typing to a friend when open mic night happened because, oh my God, how amazing was that? But when David returns the gesture, my jaw was on the floor and my heart was leaping out of my chest with love and pride. Yes, I do understand these are fictional characters. Don't worry. Just so, so proud of David for putting himself out there like that. I mean, I could keep talking about this for many more hours, but I'll just watch the scene again instead. Looking forward to hearing more of Stuart's thoughts as he discovers what else is in store for our favorite dysfunctional on-screen family.
Oh my God. So the olive branch is, I guess, slightly tough for me because it is so endearing, it's sweet, and it's such a lovely gesture. But I'm British. We don't do that. It's wonderful. And yeah, we really, I think perhaps maybe we gushed a little bit more about open mic night.
Yeah, because it's Patrick. The thing is I love what David does, and I do think, like, he, in his own way, he is doing the same thing Patrick was doing at the karaoke night. Like, this is David's version of that.
Yeah.
So, like, it is a big deal. I think the thing with the Patrick one is, I think for most people watching that for the first time, you don't realize the singing chops he has. So it's like shocking that that's happening. And also it's like a very slowed down rendition of that song. And it's like, it feels like a very big moment for them as a couple. Not that the 2.0 version doesn't, but it feels like they're making up versus taking a huge leap forward in their relationship in the karaoke moment. But I love both moments.
Yeah. Also a nice maternal moment from Moira in the first one.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
My son is being serenaded by his beau.
Yeah.
Butter-voiced beau.
That's it. Butter-voiced beau. So good.
I think the second one has hit me differently on different, like, rewatches. I remember the first time it hit me in, like, the emotions, like she was saying. In the feedback, but like this time around I found myself like laughing a little more because of it, how goofy it is at certain times. So I feel like what mood you're in when you see it, and like if you know if it's coming or not, it can like hit you in different ways.
Yeah, it's true. But so happy you're here, Roseanne, and oh my gosh, you watched the whole show in a month. And then, I mean, I feel like Taylor's all the time, most people just start it right back up again because while it does have,
if you didn't stop Stuart, he could have finished it three times by now.
Yeah, exactly. There are six seasons, minimum. But they're pretty short, so it's like very bingeable in that way. Okay, and it doesn't have, in my opinion, it doesn't have what most sitcoms have, which is just like a depreciation over time. Like, it doesn't every season is good. In fact, it gets better every season. So it's not like you're like, I will rewatch seasons 2 and 3 and then skip these ones and then go back to the beginning. Like, it doesn't have that. They're all great. Mm-hmm. Okay. Of course, if you want to send in an email, podcast@talkinshit.com is where you can do so. And you could also find us on social media at Talkin' Shit. And also, come watch us on YouTube, because when I was reading Shannon's email, you have to know that I did the hand gestures that she was referring to. Mm-hmm. But it's time. It's time to get into the ratings. I'm a little nervous. It's going to be controversial. I feel like it's going to be controversial. I'm getting a little sweaty. I'm getting a little twitchy. I'm getting a little nervous. But here we are. Here we are at our ratings. Simply the best. The MVP, of course. Will, I'm gonna let you go first. I think. Oh, man. You're our guest. Guests first. Mm-hmm.
I was hoping I would go last so I could counteract whatever Stuart did.
Well, that's too bad. You're going first. So who is simply the best for you this episode?
It's the man this episode is all about. It's all for him. He inspired this party. He wanted it to happen. And he is the reason that they have stayed connected at certain times when they wanted to do their own thing. Johnny Rose gets the point.
Okay. Stuart, who do you think is simply the best this episode?
This is, I think, so tough. Because I want to take into account all of the bad things, but ultimately he does bring them all together for a lovely party, and he does get them to reflect on where they've come from, and we get to see the absolute contrast from their old lives to their new lives. And he's a sweetheart despite being a bumbling buffoon of an organizer. I'm going to give it to Johnny as well. Merry Christmas, motherfuckers.
Wow. I'm honestly astonished. Yeah. I really did not think Johnny Rose would be getting an MVP point from you. To round it out, I'm also giving mine to Johnny. And I think, and the reason is the heart and the meaning is there. Like, he is trying. He's trying to connect with his family. And while he does it, and he puts a little bit of too much pressure on them, and he doesn't give them enough time to do it, his heart is in the right place. And all he wants is to spend the holiday with his family. And, like, that is so kind and sweet. And, like Patrick says, you know, it's not the same as, like, obligatory family parties where, like, there are really nasty people you don't want to interact with and, like, people mm-hmm. you don't agree with, right? Like, none of that is the case here. This is so pure. Johnny just really wants to spend time with his family. And I love that we have, like, even Patrick saying, I wish I could do this with my family. Like, you're lucky. Like, it's really nice that you get to do this. And I think Johnny is the glue in a lot of ways. Like, he's the one who holds them together at times when they want to kind of splinter apart. And so, yeah, I, and also, even though I know his gift giving is not so great, he does try so hard.
It's the thought that counts. I will judge the gifts. I will say that only one was an actual good gift and the other two were dog shit.
Yeah, that's better than usual for him.
Exactly. Like, the fact that he went out and tried to get them gifts that he thought they would like. I mean, that's the thing. That's what matters most. That's the spirit of Christmas.
Yeah. And now it's time for the LVP, the disgruntled pelican. Will, where are you putting your disgruntled pelican point?
So easy. The Grinch that is Ray.
Yes!
And his terrible trees, which shouldn't have even been sold in the first place because they were so bad. Those are the ones that you put in the chipper and you call it a day. And, like, sorry, people, you waited too long. You don't get a tree, or you go somewhere else to get it, or you cut it down in the woods, which are vast in Canada.
I love to see Johnny Rose with a freaking saw in the middle of the woods, giving what's the character Clark Griffin vibes, like
Griswold.
Thank you. Yeah. Not Griffin. Griswold. Yeah. Clark Griswold. Yeah. Stuart, what about you? Where are you putting your disgruntled pelican point?
Yeah, F capitalism, Ray. Like, absolutely worst. Surge pricing is, like, the worst thing in the world. And also, if you've got to sell little, like, air fresheners with your trees so that they smell of pine, then maybe you get some better trees, Ray. Like, sort it out, buddy. Yeah, Ray absolutely deserves it.
I don't know who his tree supplier is, but they should get a new one.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to round things out also. And Ray sucks. Like, $100. Like I've said, I've spent a pretty penny on a nice real tree before. Never spent $100. And certainly not for a cheap ass tree like what he was selling. This was horrible. And the fact that he was doing it all with a smile on his face, and the fact that he's like, better hurry up, the price is going to go up. Where is your spirit of Christmas? Where is your holiday spirit, Ray? You just have to rob people. You know these people. You know they don't have a ton of money, and you have like 17 businesses.
Yeah. God, what is Ray doing with all this money other than starting new businesses? And why is he doing all the work himself? Why don't people want to work for Ray at this point?
Sucks. Because we've seen him take photos and we know he sucks at direction.
Yeah. Does he have to get new jobs because he keeps doing bad at all of them? Or is he just like a hustler and he has all this money and that's why he doesn't even have time for town council anymore?
I think it's Johnny is the spirit of Christmas. Ray is the spirit of capitalism. Ray is just industrious because he has to. Capitalism goes on because it has to. Get out of here. Ray's just, absolutely not. Can I just make a slight point though? Mm-hmm. LVP could be argued to be David in this episode though.
Sure. I agree.
And I think, I'm not, probably not for the reasons you're thinking though, because had David not opened the apothecary, we might have had Christmas World and this problem would have been alleviated much easier because they would have had the decorations.
They would have been on clearance.
Don't like when hear you or Bob's going to be in the doghouse again.
Like, yeah, he's going to be sleeping in the car.
Jog over there and stay, Bob.
Yeah, no Bob jog as well, actually. No. Another candidate for LVP.
It's not a special without a Bob jog.
No.
This season really lacked the Bob jog.
I know. It's one thing it doesn't really have going for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's time. We are graced with two lovely wigs this episode. And I've brought up a photo here because I think that the entirety of the Rose flashback family needs to be addressed here. So Moira's wearing like a blonde, platinum blonde, like lob, I would say, with a ginormous upside down black bow. And the return of the David emo haircut is just glorious. I love it.
Oh yeah.
So good. Panicking at the disco, falling out boys. Like he's like ripping off all of the emo bands with his hair. And it's so good. I love the fact that her bow is upside down and like it kind of gives it a slight kind of like bow / like fascinator vibes of like, you know, like proper like mum at a wedding kind of like situation.
And I also like that Alexis is doing like duck lips, like properly of the times.
I mean, it fits the timing of when this picture would have been taken.
I like a platinum Johnny's blonde. Just Johnny's always Johnnying. I like the platinum hair on Moira. I think it's a look and I appreciate
it. I think it is a strong look.
I think this is one of the like higher up ones.
Yeah, better way
to rank them.
We also have this thing.
Cut from that to this, Jeff. That's criminal. This is funny.
She changed into a different wig when she was with the Jazzagals about to sing Silent Night. And it's like a, I don't even know, Sandy Brown, like 80s mom with bangs haircut. I don't know.
Like TV reporter. Like,
it does. Oh, yeah. Back to you, Bob. It gives the big vibes of back
real
to you, Bob.
Gal weather vibes.
Yeah, it's not
wearing wrapping paper though. Like, what is this outfit?
I love it. It's festive. I love it. It's great. I mean, at least we got two wigs, right? Like, getting two wigs in an episode for us, who like sometimes we don't get any new wigs.
200% more wig.
Exactly.
300% if we count David's.
There you go.
Is David's a wig or are they just straightening his hair?
Oh, that's just straightening his hair.
I'm sure they could just put it down.
Yeah, maybe give him some extensions. But on that note, it's time for us to do our last tier ranking of the season. Ooh. Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose. This one's a tough one because it doesn't, like, not that there's not continuity, but, like, obviously it's a special. So, like, it's a little different. There's not, like, an overarching story that fits with the rest of the season. But, Will, you are our guest. Where do you think this belongs at first glance?
That's tough. At first glance, I would start in full bouquet and, like, see what you two think. Because I really like the episode. I really enjoyed every part of it. Even when David was being a cheap ass. So I would say, like, around the top of full bouquet.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Stuart?
I was leaning more towards the bottom of full bouquet. Because I thought, like, the difficulty is the comparison with the other episodes, because they all have, like, continuity. Yeah, this slots in because obviously it's post Ted and Alexis getting together, and, like, it's clearly a precursor towards, like, season 5, but it doesn't really, like, it really does sit on its own in terms of, like, the time of everything. Like, I kind of feel like we might jump from Christmas into probably the middle of summer by the next episode based on, like, just how this feels like it's very self-contained. But that, I think, kind of makes it harder to measure against the others. But like what Will said, is like, I don't think there was really a bad thing about it. Like, all the stories were all part, well, there wasn't really like an A, B, C story. It was just one story. And that wasn't a bad story. It was a very sweet one as well. But it's probably necessary. And it's good to have a little bit of a step back and have a look at the growth. But was it the funniest of the season? Probably not for me. So I'm thinking, like, maybe bottom middle of full bouquet.
You guys are nicer than I was. I was thinking, ooh, Love That Journey for me. And wow. I love a holiday special. I just think there's, like, I like what they were going for. I think I like the concept more than I like the execution of it. And the thing is I don't necessarily have anything negative to say about the episode. Like, it's not a bad episode, of course. It's Schitt's Creek. Like, every episode is good. But I think that other episodes shine more. Like, even in Girls' Night, that's the night that Twyla and Alexis go out on the town together, and, like, there's that really nice Alexis and Moira moment that I really love in that episode. And even that's in Love That Journey for me, which is, again, average. It's not bad, it's average.
Even Johnny Rose's episode can't get full respect on this podcast.
Oh, Will makes an excellent point. Love That Journey for me it is.
No, but I do.
As the
think,
guest, like, I would like to boost it up to the bottom of full bouquet.
Okay, I'm comfortable with it being at the bottom of full bouquet because I do think, like, it's a really good Johnny episode. Like, it's, and we don't get those all that often.
No.
And again, I do love a holiday episode. And I did love the Jazzagal singing Silent Night. I really liked that. I thought it was, like, very sweet and touching.
That was good. I also like the fact that we have the act both episodes together. So, like, it feels like they kind of belong together.
Yeah. They're just hanging out, this little Asbestos Fest and Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose, just bopping together.
Just bopping.
Okay, let's leave it there. Let's put it in the end of full bouquet. Full bouquet is real full. It is the fullest of bouquet.
Yeah. It's the full bouquet, yeah. Year. Full of roses.
Oh, so good. But that's our episode, and that's our season. We are finished with season 4, almost. We are going to wrap things up next podcast. Of course, we're going to do a season wrap-up where we talk about every character's journey this season. We rank all the characters. We talk about where we would place season 4 on our season rankings. So still a lot to get done before we head off into season 5. But Will, thank you so much for joining us and being the number one Johnny fan that's ever existed.
You're welcome. Just hoping he ends up in positives at the end of the season.
I'm not going to spoil anything for the listeners, but I do know the answer to that.
+3 this episode helps.
There you go. Stuart, anything else you want to let the people know about before we sign on off out of here?
Just if you're thinking that this is a very sweet podcast and you want to, like, follow that up with more coverage from our delightful voices talking about lovely things, you can tune in to Look for the Light, which is definitely on Vibe. maybe not. No, we're covering The Last of Us, and the vibes are bleak, but we're really diving in deep with it. We have just recorded and should be releasing soon our season one finale, which is going to be coming out. And then we're going to be doing some deep dives into like the second game, the upcoming trailers, which include Catherine O'Hara, before obviously getting ourselves hyped up for season two of The Last of Us. So yeah, if you want to check that out, go look up Look for the Light podcast, where you can hear us talk all about that in all of the detail.
Yeah. And if you somehow missed that I'm covering Yellow Jackets with Grace over on We Know Scripted TV, go check that out as well, because I'm not going to lie, Yellow Jackets is killing it, okay? They know what they're doing. Tier. It is so good. Like, Rivals season one, in my opinion, which I didn't think I'd be saying. Like, it is just that good. Check it out. It's on Paramount Plus. Teen Girls.
I think it's the best current show on TV. But that's just me.
I won't disagree. I think it Severance. Is like, yeah, against Severance, like, whoop, it's so good. Check it out. Check out the podcast. Find us everywhere at Talkin' Shit. And we will be back next week with our season four wrap up. So until then, everyone, warmest regards.
And best wishes.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.